welcome to the 5:30 p.m. second Wednesday of the month public affairs show here on KFM Radio, Grand Junction, Colorado. If it sounds like I'm stooped over in the chair, it's because I am. We need KFM listeners to come up. A welder. We need a welder. That's a good welder to come out and come into the KFM studios and fix the main holder for the microphone, because it is awful. And so for average size guys, I'm not tall by any means. If Matt was over here, Matt would be having to really roll over to to get his mouth in the microphone. But anyway, if I sound a little stooped, it's because I am. My name is Rick Castellini, and sitting across from me is...
He is Matt Kettlewell.
There's Mr. Matt. Thanks, Mr. Matt, for coming on in.
Absolutely.
Happy New Year to you.
Oh, you too.
And Happy New Year to the KFM listeners. We are here for the next hour to answer any of your questions regarding technology, so you can give us a call at 241-8801 extension 1. 241-8801 extension 1. And if you call, definitely call. And if we're on a phone line, let it ring. We'll get to you when the first call hangs up. We can't put you on hold. If you are a Twitter user, you can tweet Matt at Kettlewell, which is K-E-T-T-L-E-W-E-L-L.
Yep.
And you can tweet him questions. He also monitors his Facebook, and he's Matt Kettlewell on Facebook.
That's right. Yep. Matt Kettlewell. One word.
And for me, you can tweet me at Help Me Rick. And if you are a Twitterer, we'll try to find those questions and get them on the air. But we always prefer phone calls, 241-8801 extension 1. And those always work out the best, because we can quiz you if we have a question about your question. Because that's how it is with technology. Normally, if there's a question posed to me, I have to ask two or three questions to discern what is the meat of the question. Do you find that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Technologists seem to have a deeper grasp of what the real problem is and asking a couple of fine-tuned questions. Yeah.
Well, I was given an example this morning. I had a user earlier this week that called and said, my computer's not working. And so to us, the computer not working means there's no power to the computer. So I always ask, well, can you see anything? Are there any lights on the computer? Oh, yeah, the lights are on. Okay, can you see the icons on your desktop when you first turn the computer on? Yes, they're there. And can you print? Yes, I can print. Well, what's not working? And then it comes out, it's the internet. So, and that is so funny today that so many people now equate their computers to the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Do you find that?
Oh, absolutely.
If there's
absolutely
no connectivity, the computer's not working. It's not worth anything.
Right. And, you know, I would say that so many people now, their computing is online, that if it's not working, it is usually the internet.
That's right. And it's become that fourth utility or third utility, that if that connection is not up and running, it becomes an apprehensive moment for many people not to have that. So it is important for us to ask questions of the questioner. So you can call us at 241-8801. We're going to throw out a few things that have come up in the news this week. This is the third year in a row, might even be the fourth year, Matt, that I have not attended the Consumer Electronics Show.
Oh,
and
wow.
In the late 90s through about 2006, 2007, I went every year.
Oh,
except
wow.
For like 1 year, I think. I think I skipped 1 year. But almost every year I went during those years to either the old Comdex or the Consumer Electronics Show after Comdex closed down.
Right.
And old Adam accompanied me on many of those trips.
Right. Now, are you leaving for the same reason that Microsoft is, or?
No, I haven't. Part of it is, I guess, when Adam and I gave up the national show, and we were able to get interviews and get, review units, different things like that.
Sure.
But then it became less and less about computers. I think Comdex kind of folded into Consumer Electronics and kind of took it over for a little while. But the Consumer Electronics is really about stereos, speakers, TVs, VCRs, things like that. That's really what its meat and potatoes is. You can still see a lot of computer stuff there. You can see phones and stuff like that. Now we have smartphones. But for the most part, I think that's what it was. And the computer people kind of didn't mingle real well. And so computer folks stopped going to it. And so computer companies stopped going to it. And I think that's the biggest reason is... You can only, once you see one 75-inch TV, you've seen them all kind of thing.
Pretty much.
For me, anyway, for me. But that's why I stopped going. But there's still interesting news that comes out of it every year. Still very highly anticipated every year. And this year, so far, it's only been open a couple of days. And the biggest thing that I think is going to affect all of us computer users is the OLED. And OLED stands for... that's going to put you on the spot. I thought you knew that. Organic Light Emitting Diode.
That's right. That's right.
And it doesn't mean that it's certified organic to eat. It just means it's a living cell or a living kind of a substance that they make these flat panel monitors out of. And we started out with LCDs, the liquid crystal display, which is still very common.
Yeah.
Then they went to the LED, which is a lot longer lasting, takes less energy, and that's the light emitting diodes.
Yep.
And now it's the OLED, the organics, and these are incredibly small and incredibly power efficient. And in fact, the thing that you're going to be watching on the evening news and the Today Show and all those kinds of things is the revealing of a 55-inch OLED that's 8 millimeters thick. So yep. Very lightweight, very low power, but very bright and very vibrant. The colors are very vibrant and very bright. Does your phone have an OLED? Do you know what yours is?
I believe it is an OLED.
And yeah. So many of the smartphones out there today, especially the newer ones, mm-hmm. and Matt got a new...
Samsung Infuse.
And many of those are starting to come out with the OLED. Mm-hmm. And on the smaller scale, it's easier to produce, and they've become way down in price. About 5 years ago, in fact, I think one of the last CESs I went to, Sony showed off a 5-inch or an 8-inch, I forgot which different, OLED portable TV that they actually had on the market, and at the time that was $2,000. So this year the 55-inch TV is like $4,000 or some crazy amount because it's brand new.
Right.
But if you remember back in the mid-2000s when plasmas first came out, they were $2,500 to $4,000 for the 42-inch.
Sure,
and now they're about $500-$600.
Yeah,
so it's amazing. Yeah. But that's a thing you're going to see. The other thing is, and you said your wife was interested in it, was the Ultrabooks.
Oh yeah, the Ultrabooks. They're this smaller, you know, the Mac Air size computer, and it sounds like it's a whole generation of computer size and architecture that's designed for portability.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a smaller screen. I forget what the spec is. I think it's a 13-inch screen or something like that.
Between 11 and 13.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and there's an entire spec. My wife and I actually went and looked at the specs to see, you know, and it's, I believe it's designed by Intel, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can use the x86 architecture so that you can put, so it's not using the computers that you have inside the iPads, but rather the ones that you would have in your desktop. So it has a bigger punch to it so you can really do some more processing with it.
Right. It's going to overtake and eventually replace, I think, the netbook little genre.
I hope so.
And that was the $200 to $300 computer that you could get that had what was called an Atom, ATOM processor.
Yep.
Very low power. You could do quite a bit with them, but the screens were usually between 9 and 10 inches. Very, yeah. Very small screens. And they worked really well, to be honest with you, 3 or 4 years ago when they only had Linux.
Yes.
And then Microsoft stepped in and tried to squeeze Windows on these way underpowered machines with low resolution.
Yeah.
And it's just not a good experience.
No.
And I find so many of my customers have bought one because they were pretty inexpensive, and they sit in the closet.
Yeah.
Or they just don't use it.
Sure.
And but I think what we're going to see is these Ultrabooks. Now, the price, though, on the Ultrabooks is starting in the $600 to $700 range.
Yeah, they're quite a bit spendier. Mm-hmm. But I think they will they'll be a good replacement to what we were talking about before with cloud computing or mm-hmm. or with just the internet when it's broken.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many people are using the internet, and that's really all they're using. These Ultrabooks are just perfect for that because you don't need the bigger screens. You don't need the processing because you're not running games or anything. I mean, all you're running is Chrome or Safari or IE or
now,
whatever.
What's your thought on these Ultrabooks? I mean, there are people that need computing power. They want a keyboard. But what's your thought on we've seen tablets just explode. And obviously, the Ultrabook is aimed at travelers and aimed at road warriors that need to bring their computing with them. But as you mentioned, so much of the stuff we do is on the web. I'm wondering if there's going to be a struggle for the next couple of years between ultrabooks and tablets, and who's going to win. What do you think?
Yeah, my thoughts are it depends on what applications you really use. If you're doing any sort of like Excel spreadsheet type of stuff, you know, you can't do that through cloud computing very well. I mean, I use Google Docs and Zoho Docs and whatnot. And for basic needs, yeah, they work really well. But when it comes down to you're going to use some advanced functions and you have bigger spreadsheets, you're going to need the full processing power in Word or OpenOffice. And so I think that's really the defining line is what is your job description? What is it you're trying to accomplish with it? I would say that, you know, at least half of the people that are toting around a laptop can get away with an iPad or a tablet. Mm-hmm. But then there's the few managers that have a larger set of data they're genuinely needing to manipulate, and they would still need the ultrabook or even a full laptop.
Yes, yeah, so there'll always be room for both, but I'm wondering on a mass appeal, if people like the portability and the although that's the other part of these ultrabooks with the Intel really working hard on the motherboards is to try to get to a more instant on long battery life situation, and that's where people really like the tablets is they are instant on. Mm-hmm. The battery lives on most of them are amazing.
Yeah,
and so they're trying to get to that point on these ultrabooks. So it'll be kind of interesting. So you'll see we've had netbooks, we've had laptops, we've had, you know, notebook and laptops kind of synonymous. But now you're going to see this next year, you're going to see people advertising ultrabooks.
Yeah.
And so now you know what it is. It's a very thin, lightweight, smaller screen laptop.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this for 5 years.
Well, all of us that have lugged around big laptops, you know, we love, and I am telling you, I finally broke down and bought an iPad. But I'm in love. The only computer I've ever loved, I really am in love with it, is that little MacBook Air. It is just such a wonderful piece of technology. I love the metal. It's all metal. It feels like it's got some substance. The keyboard is tremendous. And it's just fast as lightning on there. It's just amazing. So I love that.
Nice.
But we'll see what happens. All right, 241-8801, extension 1. There's a few things to talk about. OLED, if you want to talk more about that. We can talk about smartphones. We love talking smartphones. And now that, you've been using an iPhone for a while.
Yeah.
And then you kind of let it go for a little while. Because did it give up the ghost on you?
It did give up the ghost right at the same time the contract expired, so I was shopping.
Right, and you were without for a while.
Yeah, I was without for a while. I'm not a real big telephone talker, so it wasn't critical for me.
Right.
But I was starting to get that social media itch, and so I found something that was...
Tell me what you did for research. How did you research buying a smartphone?
I'm a big Google user, and I type in words that are very specific to what I'm looking for. And so I'll type in a product name, for instance. You know, I knew that Samsung was one that I was interested in and the Android. Okay. And so I did something to on the order of Samsung Android review. Okay. I always type in review because then what you get is you get third-party reviews that have already reviewed a slew of products.
They were the guinea pigs.
Yep, they were the guinea pigs, so they've already bought it. And I never get first-generation stuff. I always get one generation back. And in this case, it wasn't really one generation back. It's that this particular phone came on really strong, and then another phone trumped it. I think it was the S2. Mm-hmm. And so this one just kind of went by the wayside, not because of any fault of the product itself, just because another product was made superior, and this one was just kind of ignored, but it's still a quality product. And so I looked for what people said about it, and they said, you know, this is a great phone. There's nothing wrong with it. It does everything that I needed. And so I just read other people's reviews, and when I had a consensus that it was what I wanted, that's what I went with. And then I found it refurbed for $30.
Cool. Now, where'd you buy it refurbed from?
Through AT&T.
Through AT&T.
Yeah.
Now, did you purposely want to stay with AT&T, or were you willing to move to another carrier?
I probably could have moved to another carrier because in our particular area, I know one of the other carriers is – It's touted as being a little bit stronger, but I've been with AT&T for 5-6 years, and I really didn't feel like I need that I was going to get anything better by moving. I feel like every carrier has their pros and cons.
Right.
And so since I was already in their system and I know how they work, I just decided it was just as easy to just stay with them.
And I think that's the important thing is they all have pros. They all have cons.
Exactly.
And so you got to figure out which of the cons and which of the pros you can live with or not want to deal with and then go from there.
Exactly.
Because they do. There's especially in our area. We live in enough of a rural area that you're going to find those holes and those spots where data may not work or you may not be able to make a phone call. I had a gentleman that lived out in the Redlands. He had to purchase an extra little antenna booster.
Oh, the microcell.
Yeah, the microcell to get his Verizon to work out where he lived because he was in a little shadow out there.
Yeah, my parents ended up in a weird situation where they had great service and then they got new phones and then there was no service. And so they called, I believe this was AT&T, and they basically said, well, you should have never had service in your area. But they did pitch in nice enough to get them the microcell so they didn't have to pay for it.
Okay,
and it seems to be working okay for them.
Good deal.
Yeah.
All right, 241-8801, extension 1. You're listening to Rick and Mr. Matt here, and we are talking about anything technology-related. And you can tweet us your questions. You can call us up at that phone number, 241-8801, extension 1. We'd love to hear from you. Talk to us about what you're using in your pocket for a telephone or whether you're researching or maybe you don't even want to have the internet on your phone. We're willing to entertain all and any questions. 241-8801. We're going to ask you a geek question on your Infuse.
Infuse.
Which version of Android is it?
I'm actually on one of the older ones. I'm on 2.2.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a really old.
It is fairly old. Can
you update it or no?
I cannot update on this one.
And
they've pretty much said that they're not going to. I guess in Canada they do have an upgrade to this particular one, but in the U.S. they've kind of said we're not going to.
Okay.
And I think that would be one of the biggest cons on why people did not choose this particular phone.
Okay.
And for those of you out there, Android has 2.2. They've got the 3.0 series, and then they have the newer 4.0 ice cream sandwich.
So basically they have like 4 or 5 operating systems in production right now. There's different phones that run between 4 and 5 different versions of the Android.
Exactly. And so my particular phone, I can't upgrade it to the newer versions, but there's nothing wrong with what was there. And so I really had to look at what features the 3.0 or the 4.0 were going to offer me.
Mm-hmm.
And I really just didn't see that there was going to be enough for me.
Difference.
Exactly.
Was there a 2.3, though, too, wasn't there?
And I think that's actually the upgrade that the Canadians get is 2.3. They don't get the full 3.0.
Oh.
So.
But now, are you missing out on any apps that are out there that aren't built for your version any longer?
I have not found any. I
haven't run into any
yet.
Okay.
You know, all the apps that I use, and I don't have that many apps. I have maybe 20 apps.
Okay.
But mine are all news-related or WordPress-related or social media-related, and they're all generic enough that I have not run into any problems where the newer versions of the operating system are holding me back. So I feel very, very comfortable with what I have, and that's kind of what the research that I did pretty much said that you were limited to those versions, but it was really a good deal.
I think we're going to take
Rick.
This is Rick.
Rick, this is not Judy.
Oh, hello. This is not Judy. How are you today?
I'm well. Hi, thank you. I have a question regarding Windows 8 beta that you showed us this morning.
Okay, sure.
And you said that probably next year Microsoft will discontinue supporting XP?
Yes.
I'd like to know what that means, that they're going to discontinue supporting it.
Well, that means they'll stop putting out updates. They've already ratcheted back the phone support for Windows XP. They've already stopped developing the Internet Explorer web browser for XP. And they're only putting out very, very critical updates for security for the operating system itself, if there's any holes or back doors that they found that are out there. But starting next year, they're going to stop doing all that as well.
Okay.
So what that means is that you could still use your Windows XP computer, but it's going to become more and more vulnerable to bad guys continuing to try to get into it.
Okay. That's what I was afraid of, and I wasn't sure what it meant, but I suspected that. Well, that means I'm probably just going to start using my Apple then full time.
Good. Well, I think that's not a bad idea. And for those of you that that do have XP, you have to keep that in mind. That's for sure.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks much. Have a good day. Bye, Judy.
You too. Bye-bye.
That was a little inside joke from our group this morning. So let's see, Service Pack 2, Windows XP Service Pack 2, officially ended on July 13th of 2010, so a couple years ago. Now let's see, I was trying to find the exact date.
Now didn't they have a Service Pack 3?
Yes, yeah, that's why Service Pack 2 ended, and I'm trying to figure out, they always keep pushing it back also because so many people use this that it continues to get pushed back. But I'm trying to find if I can very quickly, but I'm not finding it. If you find it, Matt, we'll pipe in and talk about it. But it is going to stop, and I'm thinking it was 2013.
That sounds right to me.
I know phone support, I think, is officially stopped unless you're in a business or something like that. But anyway, if I find it, I will let you know. But I appreciate the call. And Judy was referring to our computer user group that we hold every month. And this morning I previewed for the computer user group. Oh, here we go. Support life cycle. It's 2014. April 8th, 2014. All Windows support, including security updates, security hot fixes, and the like, will be terminated. Users are recommended to upgrade. So that's what it is. It's officially April the 8th, 2014. So it is three more years. They're going to continue to do updates. That's crazy, though, because in 2014, that will mean that Windows XP will be 13 and a half years old, almost 14 years old.
Wow.
So that's old for an operating system.
That is.
But I was thinking it was 12 for some reason, and they could have changed it from the last time I looked.
Yeah, I think that's very likely because didn't they bring out Service Pack 3 because there were so many problems with Vista and getting software makers to embrace it?
And they pushed out the support for XP multiple times, and so it was kind of hard to keep up with there for a while. But still, again, it's showing its age more and more every day, and it really behooves people to try to keep a little bit up to date so that you don't have more and more problems. So check that out. We'll appreciate the call. One quick PSA here. January is National Radon Month. Radon is the second leading cause of lung cancer in our country. Testing homes for radon levels is simple and inexpensive. Test kits can be purchased at the Mesa County Health Department. The test kit is only $5, and the cost includes analysis and shipping. To get a test kit, please call 248-6960 or visit health.mesacounty.us. All right. So, back to technology. We talked about OLEDs. We talked about Ultrabooks. We've talked about smartphones a little bit. I was talking about Windows 8. I previewed Windows 8. Windows 8 is the next full version, and it's called Windows 8 right now, whether or not they change the name of it. We used XP and Vista for a while, and then back in the day it was Windows 95, 97.
Right.
Then they went Windows 7, so who knows what the next one will be called. But it's scheduled. They're saying it could be released as soon as this year, late this year. More than likely it's going to be next year.
I would say next year,
right.
Their
knowing,
track record.
Yeah, knowing Microsoft, it could be further out than that. But I'm using one of their preview beta editions, and they have completely, and when I say completely, I mean completely revamped the way Windows looks. And they're using a new desktop system called Metro. And, you know, all these technology companies, well, you mentioned Ice Cream Sandwich for Android.
Yeah.
They always come out with these different kind of names and code names for things. But what the Metro is they're really banking on the fact that more and more of us, as we buy new computers, are going to buy touch screens. You can use a mouse with this system, but it's really, they're working with it designed to be used as a touch screen. In fact, did you look at any Windows Microsoft Windows smartphones when you were looking?
No, actually, I didn't want to.
Okay. So you just didn't even look at that?
No.
Supposedly, some of them aren't too bad.
Wow.
And that's what I said. But what it is, if you've seen a Microsoft Windows smartphone, what you'll see is a very colorful screen with lots of colored blocks or rectangles and squares of different sizes and proportions. And you touch on these blocks to get to your photos, to get to your music, to get to your contacts. And they've kind of taken that kind of a interface and put it on the Windows desktop.
Oh, wow.
So if you look up Metro interface, Windows 8 Metro interface in Google Images, you'll get to see some of the screenshots of what it looks like. It just completely throws you off your game because we're used to a point-and-click environment with icons. And so to go to this other interface throws you off right away. And I've been playing with it for 2 or 3 months. I still don't get it. And so could be dense.
Are they intending it to be used as a mouse-pointing device, or are they really hoping that there's going to become some sort of a super tablet that you use at home that you set down and use instead?
Well, and in fact, when I was looking at some of the CES news, some of the new tablets coming out in 2012, this year, whatever this year is, 2012, mm-hmm. are going to include the phone version, kind of the phone version of that Windows portable operating system that has all these tiles.
Oh.
And so they're trying to transition that into the desktop.
Nice.
So they're looking for it to be a touch environment is what they're kind of thinking.
Nice. Now, have you seen some of the touch tablet? Well, they're not really tablets. I mean, it's a whole like a table.
Right.
Like you can go
There's a name for that. What is that called?
I don't remember what it is, but I remember seeing a video of it where they were testing it at a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and where the person set their credit card onto the table, mm-hmm. and it automatically deducted the amount that they were supposed to, you know, that they were billed for their meal, just by setting the credit card on the table. And you could, it was just amazing.
Yeah, they call that Surface.
Surface.
That's the name of that technology. And it uses a two-way communication with video.
Yes.
So in other words, as Matt's pointing out, when you put an item on the table, on this little Surface table, it will go out and try to figure out what is this and then how to react to it.
Yeah, it was fascinating.
So it's that's been out a couple of years, and apparently it's in production, and some people are actually using it. So I don't know. I don't know much about it beyond that. I've seen videos, and it's kind of one of those ooh-ah things, but where does it translate into actual usage? Who knows?
Yeah.
All right, 241-8801, extension 1. Oh, here we go again. Hello, welcome to the KFM Public Affairs. How can we help you?
I have a computer question. This is Jerry.
Hello, Jerry.
Hi. With all the changes coming up in Windows that you just talked about on the radio,
uh-huh.
I'm in the market for a new computer.
Okay.
Apple versus a PC. Any recommendations?
What do you use your computer for? What do you do with your computer?
Well, mostly just internet, word processing. I'll do fancy stuff if I have it, but that's really the basics.
Photos. Do you do a lot of photos?
No, not a lot.
Not a lot. So mainly internet and word processing. Well, again, you'd be fine either way. The Windows 7 is now 3 years old, I believe, this year. And it's turned out to be very, very good operating system, works well. That's where you're going to get your best price point, is in the Windows 7 market. I have to say that I'm very, very impressed more and more every day with my Apple and with when I help other folks with their Apples. But you do pay a little premium for the Apple. And if you're only using it for word processing and internet, I don't think it's probably worth going the extra money to go to an Apple.
Okay.
Unless you just really like the interface and you know you're going to keep it for a long, long time. The other thing, it's always hard to talk about because people don't really want to think about anything other than those two. But I still am a very big proponent of Linux and what's called Ubuntu. I don't know if you've heard of this, but what it is a third option for desktop computing, and it's a very affordable option because you can use an older computer How old is your current computer?
It's a 486.
Oh, so you're talking 10, 12 years old.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then this won't work on that. But you could still get a very inexpensive Windows computer. And if you didn't end up liking the Windows computer, you could put this other operating system called Linux or Ubuntu on it. And it would allow you to do the things you just talked about that you want to do, plus a lot more, for a very safe and free experience.
A third option.
So I'll just throw that out to you. You can just look up Linux or Ubuntu, U-B-U-N-T-U.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. 241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1. That's always a tough thing to introduce to people because not many people have heard of Linux or Ubuntu.
It's actually becoming more and more common. In fact, I was just posting out today because I'm actually converting my laptop right now to use Linux. Mm-hmm. And I had quite a few people.
Which version?
I am using a spin of Fedora called LXDE, which is a lightweight.
Oh, okay. You like Fedora.
Yep, I love Fedora. I've been using the Red Hat Fedora chain since the mid-90s, so I'm very familiar with it, comfortable with it.
And what Matt's saying, for all you out there that speak English and not computer, there's many, in fact, Adam and I used to make fun of it. If you can go to a website called distrowatch.org, D-I-S-T-R-O, watch, W-A-T-C-H.org, and it actually tracks the popularity of all these different versions of Linux because it's a free operating system, and people can kind of massage it to do whatever they want it to do. Fedora is one of those types.
Absolutely.
So go ahead.
Yeah, so Fedora is a type of Linux. And that's so what I'm putting on there is what's called LXDE, which is a lightweight X desktop. And it works really, really well on older machines, which is what I'm using on some of my other machines. They're 9 years old, and it works very, very well. It's designed to not be resource intensive. And so that is actually another option when you have an older machine. I don't know if it'll go back quite as far as a 486, but I know it'll work on a Pentium and a Pentium 2.
But work how well?
Very well.
Very well?
Very well.
Oh, my gosh. You're confident when you say that.
I am very confident. This is really lightweight. And yet, it still has features that you're very functional with. I mean, my machine is only like a 1 gigahertz machine. I mean, it's really low power, 1 gig of RAM, mm-hmm. and it does very well. I run everything. I mean, I can have Chrome and Firefox and everything running. Now, it starts dogging down after a little bit. You know, there's only so much a machine can do, but it still does very well. But I have a higher powered laptop, and I'm still going to use the same thing just simply because I'm very comfortable with it, and it does everything I want. So that's always another option for people when you have an old machine. In fact, there was an article a month or two ago that Sao Paulo in Brazil, their entire government realized that their software, their operating systems are so old, they have to upgrade them. So they were going to upgrade to Vista or Windows 7. The problem was their hardware could not push it. It was just too much. They didn't have the money to upgrade the hardware and the software, and so they made a resolution that they're going to keep their hardware and they are going to move all of their software to open source.
Wow.
All of it. So they're going to use OpenOffice instead of Microsoft Office.
And where was this again?
This was in Brazil.
Brazil. Okay.
Yeah, I believe it was Sao Paulo. I could be wrong on the city, but it was in Brazil.
Oh, it wasn't the country. It was the city.
Right. It was just the city within the country.
Gotcha.
Yeah, sorry.
Gotcha.
And so they're going all open source.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And there's many governments around the world and school systems and even businesses that have done that because of the cost savings.
Yes, absolutely.
And again, it goes back to that old thing that you and I talked about earlier, that as computing moves more and more to the internet and the internet becomes more important than the computer, that's how people can afford to do this kind of a thing.
Absolutely, because you don't need that hardcore processing on your desktop anymore like you used to. You can have a lower powered machine and just make sure you have a good solid internet connection, and that's going to get you to do the job that you used to do on your desktop.
I agree. Yeah. I think it's the future. There's no doubt about it. And I think with Windows 8, from what I'm seeing with what they're doing with the with this Metro interface, did you look it up yet on the web?
No.
when you look at this Metro interface, I think they've given up and said, not given up, but they've given in, I should say, and decided, okay, the operating system is becoming less and less important, so we have to make the experience of the operating system look good and try to get people to continue to use Microsoft products. Yeah, now Matt is a very big technologist. He's looking at the Metro desktop here, and he's got a very puzzled look on his face. Like, what?
I'm used to, you know, I was miffed when he took out File Edit View.
Yeah.
You know, the menu bar at the top, and now I'm seeing these boxes in the middle, and I'm thinking
it's very Fisher Price looking.
Excellent description.
Wouldn't you say that?
Yes.
And Fisher Price color too.
Yes.
It's very a lot of primary bright colors.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Thing is, Windows has always been customizable. You can change your desktop. You can change your background. Your desktop background. You can change screensavers. You can change fonts. You can do all these different things. Fact of the matter is, very few people customize their computers.
Yeah.
I can go into a home 5 years after somebody bought their computer, they still have the desktop background that was put on there by the manufacturer of the computer, whether it's HP or Dell or whoever it is. So the fact of the matter is people don't either, A, have time to fiddle around and want to learn how to customize their computers, or B, they just don't want to learn that.
Right.
They don't have the time, or they don't want to invest the time. And this kind of a desktop requires a lot of fiddling, a lot of learning to massage it to be what you want it to be.
Wow.
And
what's your take? I mean,
again, I think Windows shot themselves in the foot many years ago with Vista. For me, with Vista, they came out with a very inferior product in terms of performance, in terms of security. And then when they came out with Office 2007 and then subsequently Office 2010, I think they abandoned a large portion of their customer base that was used to computing in a certain way. And even computer folks like you and I, like you just mentioned that you hated when they got rid of File Edit View in their office.
Yeah.
And I still, to this day, almost 5 years after they've released the version 2007, I am not as productive in Microsoft Word or Excel as I was with the older version, because you have to hunt for the different features.
Yeah.
And
their help is, it doesn't search and really get you to the information you need.
So I think that they just took some really crazy business, made some crazy business decisions, and allowed people like Apple, and if Ubuntu and Linux would kind of get things rolling a little bit better, they've allowed these other alternatives to come up. And again, like we've kept talking about, to me, the operating system is becoming more and more irrelevant, which is very it's a very big not an oxymoron, but what's the word? It's very, I'm trying to think of what it was. But back in the '90s, in the mid '90s, when Sun Microsystems with Larry Ellison, was he Sun? Was Larry? Was he?
Whoever? Yes,
I think he was Sun.
Mm-hmm. And he's Oracle.
He's Oracle. Who was the Sun guy? I can't remember the Sun guy.
I don't remember now.
But he was in a big legal fight and just a business fight with Microsoft about desktop computing versus cloud computing way back then, where Sun was betting on the fact that eventually we would all have dummy terminals on our desks or in our hands or what have you, and the power would come from a central network. But this was prior to the internet really grabbing hold, and no one really knew what this internet thing was going to be. And now it's become what Sun Microsystems had thought about was going to be, which is we have most of the power that we use out in on the internet, and we just access it through our browser, Firefox, Internet Explorer, Google Chrome, whatever you use. That is the dummy terminal, which is the browser. And so it's kind of interesting that 15 or so years later, that whole little fight and struggle between desktop computing and network computing has reversed, and we had that big upswing in desktop computing with Windows, and now it's going the other way.
Oh yeah.
And I don't see they can turn back. Do you see?
No.
We're too mobile. We have too many ways that we like to access our information.
Yeah.
And so having it on one computer doesn't even make sense.
No, I think we're going to find that even the hardcore processing applications we see now, like your Photoshops and some of your local editing type things, I think eventually, you know, here in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to see those move into the cloud as well. They've got technologies that allow
I use Pixlr, PIXLR.com. Pixlr.com, for most of us, if you're not a high-powered photo editor, does everything that you would want it to do on the web browser. I can go to Pixlr.com on any website, pull in an image into it, crop it, adjust the lighting, work with the gamma data. And if you're, I don't even do all that stuff, but you can do the stuff that you want to do in a browser,
yeah,
and very quickly.
Yeah, I use a Google Chrome extension called Avery, I believe is what it's called, and it does a lot of that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very powerful, I think it's even more powerful than Pixlr.
I think
It's kind of Aviary, right? A-V-I-A-R-Y?
Yes, I think you're right.
Aviary. Mm-hmm. And it's very powerful. And I was looking for, a couple weeks ago, what do they call it? The graphics program that Adobe makes to make vector graphics, like if you're doing logos and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Is that Fireworks or is that Illustrator?
Illustrator. Right. I was looking for an Illustrator-like experience on the web. That was a little harder to find because I guess that one requires a little more programming and detail. I guess. I don't know. Or maybe it's just the demand isn't as much a need for that kind of a program.
I would guess that it's just the demand. It isn't there for the popular. But if you've not used Zara, there's a nice option too.
XARA.
I think it's a paid app, but it's a lot cheaper than Illustrator.
XARA.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was one that download a freebie that I found, but I haven't seen this Zara. Yeah, that's cool. So that is a graphic vector designer. Yeah.
And if you're on Linux, they offer it for free.
Oh, but the Windows version is not.
The Windows version costs some money.
Gotcha.
But they open sourced the Linux version.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And I noticed that your Aviary now has portable apps for your iPhone or Android.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's pretty cool. So that nice. And that is a very powerful system, the Aviary.
Yeah.
241-8801 extension 1. We're here for another 10 or so minutes. So if you have questions about anything computer related, give us a call and we will get you on the air and answer your questions. 241-8801 extension 1. We've thrown out a lot of different things there today. And you got to keep us reined in cuz Matt and I will go off on a very geeky tangent if you let us. If we talk about things that you're curious about or maybe we didn't quite explain it well enough and did get too geeky, call us on it. Call us up and say, hey, what was that you were just talking about or can you explain what this is? Because I try to catch those things and be a little bit of an interpreter, but sometimes I lose out as well. So 241-8801. Extension 1, 241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number.
Well, let me give some credibility to the Linux. I think some people are kind of hesitant because they don't know where it fits in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking at...
Is it Linux or Linux?
Either.
Okay.
Linus Torvalds is the Finnish developer. He was the original developer, owns all the rights to it.
Okay.
And there is an audio recording.
His name's Linus.
Linus, okay. Yes. And he has a recording where he says, this is how I pronounce it.
Oh.
And he says Linux.
Oh, he does. Even though his name's Linus,
yes,
he pronounces it Linux.
Yes. It could be that his name is pronounced Linus. I don't know that for sure.
Ah, so he didn't pronounce his name.
Right. But he pronounces Linux to be Linux, but he says he doesn't care how people pronounce it. And so it ends up going both ways. But the operating systems we were talking about, Microsoft is number one, Apple is number two, mm-hmm. and then right after that in usage is Ubuntu.
Right, and which is a type of Linux.
Yes, which is the one that you recommend a lot. And then the other one that you recommend periodically is Mint.
Which is basically just Ubuntu highly customized.
Yes.
Right.
It has all your video and everything already ready to go. It's just all already installed and configured, pre-configured. And so, you know, basically I guess what I'm saying is that these operating systems are really catching up to where it's more what you consider your own preference,
right?
And you know what hardware you have available to you to put on it, and that Microsoft and Apple are not the only choices out there, and that there's a lot of people, you know, large portions of the population now that are recognizing that the interface to Linux or Linux is very
friendly.
Very friendly. It's mm-hmm. it's very
Windows-like.
Yes, very much so.
And I think a lot of people, it scares them because they wonder about the support.
Right.
And there's a ton of support online. Mm-hmm. But again, getting back to our what we do with our computers, we asked the woman earlier what she does. She does mainly internet and word processing. Mm-hmm. That is so common today.
Yeah.
And if I was to answer, I mainly do internet, some photos, and occasionally some word processing. And that becomes more and more a lot of what we do with our computers. And so, therefore, the operating system isn't as important because you're not having to install a lot of software. You're not having to configure a lot of software. Once it's up and running, it's going to work.
Yeah.
And both Matt and I can vouch for the fact that once you get Linux up and running, it works very well, almost trouble-free, yeah, for years and years and years. In fact, Matt helped me earlier this year. I had a client who had a very old computer, probably 2000, 2001, 10, 11-year-old computer. And she was a fixed income. She didn't want to buy a new computer. She was in that same category, internet, email. And when I say internet, I usually mean email as well, mm-hmm, and word processing. So I put a program on there for the smallest Linux that I knew about that I could work with called Puppy Linux. And there was one thing that I had trouble with, which was getting her laser printer to work properly with it, because there were some crazy things I had to download and some more Linux behind-the-scenes knowledge than I had. Matt came in and helped me. We kind of figured it out together, and
right. She's
been up and running ever since, Matt. And that was
awesome.
I think that was about a year ago.
About a year ago, yeah. It's been quite a while, yeah.
And this is a 10, 11-year-old computer. This woman has never been happier. Her Windows XP on that old computer was just pathetically slow.
Yeah.
Because it didn't have a lot of RAM, didn't have a lot of processing power, and it was just way, way early in the game for XP. And then she had to deal with security. She had to deal with the updates, you know, all this stuff. You put Linux on a person's computer, and I usually tell folks, don't even do the updates.
Yeah.
Because usually, if it's going to work, it's going to work fine. Mm-hmm. Now, occasionally, if I go in a year or so later, and the browser might need updated or something like that. But for the most part, the user doesn't even need to deal with that because it just works. In fact, here at KFM, I'm real. I love coming here to KFM because we work with Linux on most of the computers here.
Yeah, that
so
is nice.
Here at the main terminal of the KFM studio is a Linux computer. Next to me over on the side, we're recording the podcast on a Linux computer. So businesses can run and do run with Linux.
And should run.
I agree. I agree. I think I've become very much a Linux proponent, even though I don't use it as much as I should.
Right.
And I keep thinking every time I see a Linux machine and how fast and how quickly they use, I keep saying, all right, Rick, jump in it and just do it on my own computer. But I still run them just in the virtual machines and
right,
things like that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that what we should do, Mr. Matt, is wrap things up. I think I'm going to throw some music on, and we'll be back again next Wednesday, Matt and I will be, from noon to 1, and that is the 18th, next Wednesday from noon to 1. We'll be back here on the Public Affairs. So if you have questions, queue them up, and we will answer those questions for you next Wednesday. In the meantime, have a great evening, and stay tuned for some great jazz coming up on KFM Radio, 88.1. Grand Junction. Manamana. 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 Manamana.
Baby, say I'm doing you wrong too.